Good afternoon, and welcome to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined for this afternoon show, as usual, by my co-host, Mr. Mike Yakubik. Good afternoon, Michael.
Good afternoon, Joseph.
Michael, let us begin, as we always do, with a prayer.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Saint Michael, the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our defense against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, thrust into hell Satan and all the other evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I have a couple of degrees to get out of the way.
All right, that's really good considering who our guest is. I think this is
a good thing. We'll go there in a minute. All right, here we go. On Sunday, February the 24th, my second degree team and Holy Name of Jesus first degree team will be conducting an admission and formation degree. It'll be conducted at St. Matthew's Parish Center, 607 Stony Creek Drive in Dauphin, Pennsylvania. Candidates should arrive no later than 12:30, and the degree is to begin at 1 o'clock. The formation degree will follow at about 2:30 till we reset the room and do whatever. Then on Tuesday, the 26th, an admission degree is going to be conducted by St. Patrick Council up in Carlisle. They're located at 87 Marsh Drive in Carlisle. Candidates should arrive no later than 7, and the degree is to begin at 7:30. And that's all I've got for that.
All right. Yeah, it's really appropriate today because, as we all know, membership is the lifeblood of any organization, and we're kind of lucky because we have a very good state membership director, and he happens to be with us here today on the phone, Brother Knight Jack Rosati. And good afternoon, Jack.
Good afternoon, Michael and Joe.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm terrific.
All right.
So excited to hear about your degrees. Thank you.
Well, we do what we can. You know, when they call and they say, okay, we need a second degree team, or we need this, or we need that. We have a pretty good bunch of guys here in the area, and you can pretty much muster a team when you need to.
That's excellent.
You know, Jack, one of our problems is, I mean, and this is all of our problems, because the one thing that I know that you put out, and I think every meeting I've ever been to with you, is we're all involved in membership. Again, it's the lifeblood of any organization. And especially today, I think, with the troubles the Catholic Church is having, we need to be stronger and stronger in our faith. And as Pope John Paul II said, Pope St. John Paul II said, we are the right arm of the Catholic Church. And I think it's necessary that we do what we have to do. So why don't you just tell us a little bit about membership, what you think about it, why it's so important to us. And there you go, Jack, it's all yours.
Wow, you teed that up well for me. Thank you. You know, I go to council meetings all the time, and you're right. We are all in membership recruiting, especially your team. You know, our team, membership team, and the program team work so well together. You can't do programs without members, and if you don't have members, you don't do the programs. So we work hand in hand, and Mike, it's been a joy being in a partnership with you on the program team. But I go to these council meetings all the time, and I try to express to them just how important it is to bring new members, younger members, into their councils. I was at a council meeting last night talking to, and I don't mean to be, I mean, just a lot of gray-haired guys.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, and I tell them, it's sometimes it is hard to recruit. You know, not everybody is comfortable going up to another man and saying, you know, would you like to join the Knights of Columbus? Can you do this? Can you do that? And I tell them that there's guys out there that are watching the news, whatever it is. And let's face it, it's all bad.
Yes.
They're watching the news. They're sitting in their recliners, and it's, you know, they're seeing where, you know, mothers are killing babies. Christians in the Middle East are being slaughtered just for being Christians. Children are freezing for lack of shelter. It's all bad. And he's sitting there thinking to himself, you know, someone ought to do something. I'm just one man, but somebody should do something. And I tell those guys in those council meetings that that guy needs to know that there's an organization right in his own backyard, in his own church, that is out there doing something. You know, we sent millions of dollars to the Christian Relief Funds to say help these fleeing refugees that are being murdered for their faith. We send money for ultrasound machines that are saving lives. You know, we're pro-life, and on that front, I think we're making inroads every day. You know, that guy needs to know that there's an organization that is doing things, and that he can join that organization and become an active role in doing something. That he's sitting there complaining. He needs to know that we're out there, and we can't be afraid to talk to him about that.
Yeah, I agree. I think that's one of the reasons why we work so close together, because it is a symbiotic relationship. But more importantly, it's a way to grow our faith. And, you know, as you mentioned, just some of the things that you talked about, I mean, the ultrasounds, what we're talking about is the murdering of babies. And this is an opportunity, I think, in our state. If you just take it and look and say that the ultrasound only saves one child, we have, what, 38 or 58 additional children in our state just because of an ultrasound machine. The agony that that woman would have gone through had she chose abortion and snuffed out the life. Then when you talk about the refugees, I mean, it's hard to imagine. We have it so nice in the United States. It doesn't matter who we are. We can kind of do just about whatever we want to and believe in the God that we wish to believe in and worship him the way we want to. And yet, if you happen to be Catholic or Christian overseas, you can die for that. And it really is something. And I know that, you know, when it comes to membership, a lot of times people say, I don't want to be a member of this and I don't want to be a member of that. But I think you prefaced it so well. We have to do something. And we as individuals, it's really difficult to do something. I mean, our Supreme Knight speaks for almost 2 million men, Catholic laymen. And not only that, but he speaks, you know, with authority from all Catholics because of how strong his faith is. And I know that you do too, Jack. And I think, you know, I'm a little disappointed, I know you are, that we're not getting as many members as we want. And it's so hard to understand how that can't be done at this time when our faith, our nation is undergoing such adversity that you would think people would be
like, right,
jumping on.
Exactly. Doesn't it seem like going on right now would be the perfect time to join the Knights of Columbus, to join hands with other brothers, with, you know, like-minded Christians and Catholics that are actually doing something. You're right. You're absolutely right. I do not understand why our numbers are down. They should be up with everything that's going on. But, you know, it is what it is, and all we can do is the best we can. It's interesting. You talked about the ultrasound machines. I heard, you know, that the Knights of Columbus just placed their 1,000th machine.
Yes.
In the order. And I heard Carl Anderson talk about how, and he knows the math, he knows how many lives one machine can save in the lifetime of that machine. So he sat down and did the math with 1,000 machines and the average lifespan of a machine and how many lives it saves in a year. He said that the Ultrasound Project initiative has the potential to save 1 million lives, and making that, he went on to say, the greatest humanitarian effort the Knights of Columbus have ever done. How true is that?
Yeah. Who can imagine innocents dying? And now, you know, again, I think it's just hard to fathom that every man that goes to church doesn't want to become a member of the Knights of Columbus. It really is, just because of the laws that are being passed, where now it doesn't matter. You can commit infanticide. Wait until the baby's born and then kill it.
It sickens me.
Yes, it does.
Now, you're not alone there. There was a little cartoon, for lack of a better term. That's probably the wrong choice of words, but I'm going to describe it as best I can. It was like a layer of white clouds in cartoon format, mm-hmm. and all these little babies sitting on the clouds, and the caption read, "I wish I could have had a birthday."
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And
it's tough.
And I think that gets to why we would like every man to become a member of the Knights of Columbus, not just to join a good fraternal organization, but to grant unity and to speak with one voice and to be heard. to stop the atrocities that are occurring within our country, whether it be pro-life, well, be pro-choice is the atrocity, but whether it be that or standing with our priests and our bishops. Mistakes were made, things happened. We pray for the victims, but we also know that the majority of priests have not done anything like that. The majority of bishops acted with what they thought was the best way to go forward. And things change. It's just the way that it is.
Yeah, amen to that. And you know what? If nothing else, it will make you a better dad. It'll make you a better man as a Catholic. And you're going to be around other guys that are going to help you shape your life. And plus what we do and what we stand for with all of pro-life and the other issues that we get 100% behind in the world today. The prayers and the rosary are good. But you want to help say more prayers and more rosaries, put more ultrasound machines out there. Join the Knights. Help us. Michael?
Yeah, I think that's why we have this show. I mean, this is evangelization, and I think part of evangelization, sure, we want to bring in everyone into the Christian fold, into the Catholic fold. But if you're already a Catholic, I mean, I look at our parish, and I wish we could do more, Jack, but we have, I think, 1,700 families, and I believe right now our council, we have 211 Knights. And if you just take a 50% of the families, you would think that we would have at least 800 members in our council. And it just doesn't happen. And why, I really don't know, again, especially in these times.
Well, I think one of the things that we don't do that well, we do a lot of things well, but one of the things we don't do well is we don't blow our own horn. You know, we take this being humble thing to heart, don't we?
Yes,
I agree.
We
agreed.
Need to be out there telling people what we do. It's not bragging. It's not. It's not sinful. What we're doing is God's work, and we need to make sure people know about it. And I think there's just this reluctance to go out there and blow our own horn sometimes. And you know what? We're going to need to do that because people don't know the good things we do.
Well, we're going to start wrapping up this segment. Before we go into the next segment, we do want to get some of your talks that you give actually out to the different councils and the parishes. So with that,
the music is playing in my ears, guys. We got to take our hard break. We'll be back right after these messages. And welcome back to Night Talk. I'm Joe Murphy, and I'm joined with my co-host, Mr. Mike Jakubik, and we have Mr. Jack Rossetti on the phone with us here. And before we go any further, guys, if you don't mind, I need to put a shameless plug in here because we have a fundraising dinner, our annual dinner coming up for the radio station. It's on Friday, March the 1st. It's at the Sheridan Harrisburg Hershey Hotel. Social hours at 6. Dinner begins at 7. And our guest speaker is the Theology of the Body. I forget his first name. God forgive me. But at any rate, dinner it will be at 7. Social hour is at 6. Tickets are $100 a person. We want to fill this room. Things are going well. Michael and the gang, the Knights of Columbus chapter. Yeah, well, the chapter. The assemblies in the area and the councils in the area the last couple of years have been the grand sponsor for this thing, which means they underwrite the cost of the dinner. Whatever the bill is at the hotel, the Knights are picking up the tab for. So that anything we do is going to be helped us here at the radio station. Michael, we thank you for that. You know that.
Well, it's all the councils and assemblies within the Diocese of Harrisburg work on this because of the fact that, I guess just what Jack was saying, it's kind of what we do. So, Jack, along that lines, I know that you had Joe's going to.
Yeah,
I think Joe found his name.
Guy's name. I forgot. Bill Donahue. It's not as though I don't know. We've done promos and stuff, and I had him on the phone. But my mind. Okay. But let's go back to
Jack. When we left off, I know that you were listening to what Joe had mentioned about the family and everything. And do you want to comment?
Yeah, he tickled something in my mind there. He was talking about how, you know, when you become a Knight of Columbus, you do become a better Catholic, a better man, a better husband. And by the way, it's Happy Valentine's Day to everyone out there. But, you know, I talk about when I go to council meetings and people ask me, or when I'm out, you know, people ask me, well, what do the Knights do? And, you know, you could get into a long dissertation of all the things we do. Mike, you know all the programs that we do. But to simplify it, I answer, you know, the Knights of Columbus change lives and we save lives. And you know, we change lives every time we bring a full box of food to a single mom and fill her empty pantry. We change lives every time we put a warm coat on a cold kid. You know, we can go on and on how we change lives. But, you know, when we talk about saving lives, certainly the pro-life efforts that we do, we've already talked about all of those things. But I challenge you to think about how we save lives on the eternal scale, if you will. You know, we just talked about how we become better Catholics, better men, better fathers. And I know, Mike, I'm sure if you asked around to your friends too, the Knights of Columbus, to the T, they would all tell you that they are better men. They are better Catholics. They do walk closer with Christ since they've joined the Knights of Columbus. And why is that? I think it's because I spend more time now with guys like you and Joe. Instead of, you know, hanging out at the bowling alley, I'm spending time with brother knights that are like-minded, that are filled with Christ, and that helps me. So I know that we can help others that way too. We have to start thinking about how we're saving lives on that eternal scale too. We talk about, I know at the DD seminar that we were at, and I always said, you know, the membership guys are always the bad guys. You know, they're always beating people over the head. And I promised the district deputies that I would never talk about, you know, prospects anymore. Let's talk about souls. Let's talk about how, you know, these people that we're affecting, the lives that we're affecting, these are souls that we're touching. And that's our job, isn't it? You know,
yeah.
When we get baptized, we're baptized into Christ, and we're challenged to bring others to Christ through the rest of our lives. And this is what we should be doing as knights, too. So I know that because I'm a knight, and I'll bet you could ask every other knight around the same thing, we are better men, better Catholics. We walk closer with Christ because we're Knights of Columbus. And there again, it's one of those things we just don't tell people enough about.
Yeah, I agree, Jack, and I think that I think you really present it that well, because that's what we're really talking about is that as a brother knight, I think we all help each other achieve that path toward heaven. You know, we do that with everything we do, whether it be kneeling in prayer at a council meeting, whether it's praying for our brothers and sisters that are afflicted with anything. We pray for our priest. We pray for the unborn. I don't think there's a moment that goes by that when you're with a brother knight, you don't have some thought or feeling toward other individuals. And, you know, that's what Christ asked us to do.
And you know what, Michael? On the other side of that, I mean, we're doing all of the praying and the other good stuff. But when you go and you have, oh, I'm going to say Lenten fish fries, because Lent is coming up.
Yes, it is.
But we have a terrible competition here between the East and West Shore of the Harrisburg area, and whose fish fries better than the others. But the bottom line is, whatever you're doing, fish fries, pancake breakfast, whatever, or if Father Jones calls you know, to do something in the parish, the first ones he's going to call are the knights, and we'll show up with 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 guys, get done what they want done, or get done with the fish fry or the pancake breakfast, and you clean up and you go home, you know, you say a couple of Hail Marys or Ave Marias, and then you might be back for the novena that night because you're supposed to be scheduled. You're an extraordinary minister or whatever, you know, or a deacon, yeah.
Well, if I could be selfish a little bit, you know, before you clean up, go recruit some of those people that were at your fish fry, too.
That's true.
Well, that's why they make Form 100s.
Thank you.
And now you can
landing
do it online.
Page, yeah,
you know, I can be standing there with my phone. You can do it online.
Absolutely. The Supreme has given us so many so many new tools to use that, you know, even the younger guys, it resonates with them a little more. You know, they do everything online now. And these new tools that Supreme has given us, whether it's the e-membership joining online or even just this the landing page that they've created for us to gather and collect names of people that are interested and keep in constant contact with them. Get those names.
Yeah,
get those too.
I'm going to brag to you now because I'm doing my job. I had two individuals that I signed up on the landing page, and the one is still hasn't made a decision. The other one, though, this past Sunday, signed his Form 100. We would have voted on him this Tuesday, but because of the inclement weather down here, our meeting was canceled. But we actually have, and a young man, I think he's 24 years of age. So it does work. And I think you're right, is Supreme has come out with a lot more innovation that we need to do for younger people. Because I think we've also gotten away from the thing that, you know, you have to be a knight and you have to go to the meetings and you have to do this. What you really have to do is be involved as best you can and bring your family into the fold, and we'll do things together.
Absolutely.
You know, you become a better church-going, God-fearing Catholic.
Yeah.
Truly. You know, and a brother knight. I mean, it doesn't get any better than that. I mean, none of us walk on water.
Yeah.
But when you have the support of your priests and your brother knights, you know, it's like they help you. You can talk to people. Okay? And I have. Michael, I'm sure you have.
Oh, yeah.
You can get a little bit of guidance. I don't want to call it spiritual direction. I go to the priests or the nuns for. But you know what I'm saying. You find that comfort level with Mike or with Jack or Frank or whoever. And you know that you can go and play golf and discuss stuff with them. And okay, Joe, maybe you need to go talk to Father about this, you know? Yeah.
Well,
it's a good thing.
I think one of the things that we also do as Brother Knights is, you know, in times that are tough like they are now, it's just nice to be able to talk to somebody that has the same mindset that you do. And you can just sit back and, I guess for lack of a better phrase, you can cry on each other's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
About where
mm-hmm.
our world is today and how much it's changed during our time, but it is changing, and in some instances I think it's a lot worse. In some it's a lot better. I'm kind of happy with our parish. I think we had a little lull where we weren't getting people to come to church, but now just about every mass you go to, the church is filled, and that's a good thing. Jack, I know that. I'll tell you the truth, first time I met Jack, and I mean, this was years ago, and he was a membership chairman, I guess, for the West, and he had given his pulpit talk, and I'm not joking you, I signed a Form 100, and I was already a knight. That's how impressed I was. So,
well, that worked.
Yeah, that worked, and Ron Cubbage was willing to accept me, so... you know, this is, I think you give out some really good information on your pulpit speeches. And if you're able to, we have some time left. If you could, just kind of tell us how you, approach it from the pulpit.
You got about 2 minutes or so, Jack.
Right.
Okay. And since my speech is four, I'll summarize.
Okay. Sounds good.
You know, in the first part of the talk, I usually tell the congregation from the pulpit, I tell them how the Knights got started, you know, 1882 by a young Catholic priest, and how it was for the widows, but how the Knights of Columbus has grown to be so much more than, you know, the protecting the widows. I talk about what we do globally around the world. You know, we have programs that provide wheelchairs for people less mobile than ourselves, proud partners of Special Olympics, and how we fund the televised mass from the Vatican on the holy days. I talk about the millions of dollars we give to the people that need it. And then I get into what we do locally, and that's specific to that council putting on the church drive. But in my pulpit talk, I'll talk about the ultrasound project and how we save lives. I talk about what the Knights do in that parish. And it resonates with those people sitting in the pews because they've seen it. They validate it with their own eyes, what I'm telling them. And then at the end, I invite them to join. You know, I tell them that the Knights of Columbus needs their help. No, they do not need your money, and that usually gets a laugh. But I tell them that they need you. They need you to join and do the good works that we do. And then I tell them about, you know, I understand what you're thinking. You just don't have the time. You're so busy. What little bit of time you could give would not make a difference. Well, then I remind them of the story of the loaves and the fishes, how someone hearing Christ's call thought the same thing, that, you know, these few fishes and loaves aren't going to feed all these people. My gifts aren't going to make a difference. Well, I tell them they'd be amazed at what God can do with their gifts.
Amen to that.
They're offering them back to Him.
Yep, amen to that. I hate to cut you off, Jack. It's been a fun half hour. I want to thank you for calling in and being with Mike and myself today.
Wow, that went fast.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. So for Night Talk, I'm Joe Murphy along with Jack Rossetti and Mike Yacoubi. Thank you for listening, and God bless.